Orleans at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I've killed my share of engines in a thousand different fights. I was there at the little big horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more dying, but I ain't a marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we won with a saber and a gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I march to the battles of the German.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Underground Grad School. Classes that begin in March include Introduction to Music Theory, A Moment of Possibility, Finding Opportunity in Our Differences, Financial Freedom, Getting Empowered About Money in Your Life, and more. Portland Underground Grad School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over Portland metro area. Information about registering, teaching classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, February 17th, 2017, and you're listening to Air Cascadia, broadcast live from the Unsinkable membership that's made possible by all of you who called in over our winter membership drive, became members, your renewed membership perhaps, but a gift membership for Donald Trump or anyone else that you think needs to be woke. There are many reasons why people become members of KBOO. And, you know, in the case of this radio station, we value you. We value all your reasons for becoming members. We don't just value your money. You yourselves are the reason why KBOO is here in the first place. And we have never forget that. We, all of us together, are stronger. And these times, we need all of the strength and all the solidarity that we can possibly get. We, speaking of which, we have Tor joining us. Tor is a friend, a water protector, and a comrade of an activist named Crow, an eco-activist who was arrested at Standing Rock, arrested in the most brutal way, and after quite a history of frontline activism. Hold the line, Tor. We always do weather because that's our way within concrete walls and concrete roads. That's the way we can have a little respect for what goes on outside. Just for today, a chance of showers and a high around 49. Night, again, overcast skies, lows down around 38. And Saturday is a rainy day, 48 degrees. Saturday night, showers coming down and a low of 39. For Sunday, there's again chance of showers, mostly cloudy and high near 49. Basically, same pattern that rolls us on into Monday morning. And that's the Cascadia weather for you right there. So returning to Tor, good morning. Thank you so much for being with us today. Tara is currently working on the Defense Committee for an Activist Named Crow. Getting the word out about Crow's case and all the other 750 water protectors who are facing criminal charges for what? For defending water. As something that we have a right to. What next? Are we going to be in prison facing criminal charges for defending air? People are. People are right now, actually. So that said, there's a story here. Crow's most recent and extraordinarily brutal arrest. You can see there's a video that you can see. Crow, I believe it's at crowsupport.org. February 4th is when this happened. While supporting the No Dakota Access Pipeline struggle, Crow, or her name is, if it's okay to say it, it's Katie Cloth, was assaulted and arrested by Bureau, get this, wait for it, a Bureau of Indian Affairs officer. She was walking on a public road away from the Sacred Stone Camp. She was basically hunted down by the officer. And she was probably specifically targeted. Tor, was she specifically targeted? What's the context here for this this arrest?
So Crow has been dedicated to defending land and defending water pretty much their whole life. They were involved in the Pinocchio Hill mine struggle in northern Wisconsin, where the largest taconite mine was being trying to be built on sacred ground. And Crow is in that struggle, defending land, defending the earth, and caught some charges for their involvement there, and did 9 months. And it just goes to show that no matter what struggle for the earth Crow is has been dedicated to and been involved in, and now, during this current struggle for the protecting the Missouri River by way of the Dakota Access Pipeline, they were obviously targeted because of their deep, deep commitment to protecting the water. And if you watch that video, it's incredible how, you know, they're walking away from the police, and the police come and use batons to beat them down very brutally and very violently. Now Crow is sitting in Morton County Jail with a cash-only bail of $100,000, meaning they can't get bonded out for 10% of that. They need a cash-only for $100,000. And we were trying to raise that money by way of online fundraising. You can go to supportcrow.org/donate and follow updates on their case at facebook.com/supportcrow. And right now they are wanting to get out, and we want to them out.
Well, I heard when I spoke with I can't think his name, Jason, yesterday, he suggested that there were reasons why, even if bail were raised, they still aren't getting out. And because the government really has it in, Crow has apparently been doing everything right, because she has really attracted the attention of the government, and has apparently really been doing some good work here. She's attracted more attention from the feds than from fellow activists across the country, which is why we want to get the word out right now today. Because tell us the story. Why is it that they might not get out, even if this extraordinary amount of money were raised?
I think it's because Crow's dedication, how they have shown time and time again to, in the face of a repressive U.S. government, that they are dedicated to the struggle. And as we can see, that the government and all of their, you know, affiliates, the corporations, and these pipelines and the police departments that enforce the laws that really protect the property, not us. Crow is beside that and says, hey, I actually care about the land, and I'm going to put my whole heart, spirit, and all my actions into defending that. And the government can't have a person like that walking around trying to teach people and inspire people. And so we've seen that, you know, with this $100,000 bail, that is just a way that they're trying to silence them.
Thank you so much, Tom. We really appreciate it. Do you want to just, like, briefly before we let you go today, let listeners know how they can support Crow?
Yeah. So, like I said, we have online fundraiser at supportcrow.org/donate. Follow the story at facebook.com/supportcrow. And follow the 750 other cases that have come out of the No DAPL struggle against the Dakota Access Pipeline. There's many other people still in jail, Red Fawn Fallis, who is a political prisoner, and many other cases that need support as well.
Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate it. Are you taking the time to talk with us? And listeners, of course, this is a story that needs to be spread across the land right now. We still have, for example, a good example is Barrett Brown. We may be able to speak with Barrett Brown, who's also been a journalist, has been a political prisoner in the past. Speaking now, because why some of this is going on is we all know that Donald Trump in office is a very not just a dangerous loose cannon, but very likely not entirely psychologically fit to be president, or perhaps even dog catcher. No disrespect to dog catchers. He has now alienated his own intelligence community. More and more is coming out about some of the things that Trump has said, some of it public, some of it not so public. Joining us now is Colleen Rowley, someone who does know quite a bit about the intelligence community indeed. Colleen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So from your experience, your point of view, mm-hmm. what is so extraordinarily unique and odd out of the history of presidents' relationships with the intelligence community, with the people who...
You know, over history, and of course, this isn't just the recent history. You can go all the way back to JFK and even, I think, to Eisenhower and Truman. Many presidents, we have, you know, founding fathers set up three equal branches. And then this deep state has also arisen with all of the 16 or 17 secret intelligence agencies. And of course, in recent years, we've learned that they are doing a massive, you know, basically spy operation, not only on the American public and foreign people, of course, but the American public. And now I think what's also going on, in a way, you can have a certain amount of schadenfreude about this, because many of us warned that by letting the dogs loose, the agencies to now monitor and spy, that the legislators themselves, the politicians themselves, would become victims. This happened, by the way, this is not unprecedented at all, what's happening with Trump. You can go back to the Vietnam War. Frank Church and I forget the other senator, but two of those senators, including Frank Church himself, was targeted by the NSA.
Daniel Ellsberg, for that matter.
Right. Well, of course, but the, you know, it's always obviously outsiders and leakers, et cetera, would be targeted. But now the actual politicians. And I just want to mention one thing. The average worker bee in these agencies is usually careerist and professional, and obviously sometimes they have to go along with politicized intelligence. Ray McGovern talks about this all the time, his experience during the Vietnam War. But the lower levels of all of the agencies tend to be good people, by and large. There are also some rogue operators even in the lower levels, but by and large they tend to be motivated just to do their jobs in the best way possible. The higher levels, that is not the case. And so you do get the Brennans and the Clappers and Petraeuses, and you see all of these shenanigans on these basically high-level political figures. Chertoff, I mean, the list is so long now, I can hardly, and they're bipartisan, by the way. Because what happens in any agency is the politicians rise to the top. And I think that if you look at the situation right now, these high-level, most of these leaks probably came from some of the Obama, the leftovers at the tail end in December in the Obama administration. Like Brennan, for instance, who was very vested in a lot of things, including, you know, keeping the lid on torture and many other things. Hello?
Yeah, hi.
You're still on. I just
No, we've got a few minutes left, and that makes it very interesting because Trump said that he is going to go after these people who are leaking.
Exactly. And, you know, that was dumb on his part. Yeah. And not only, by the way, not only dumb, I mean, even Schumer said, you know, they're going to come after you. Schumer warned him, you know, you can't be dissing the intelligence agencies because they have a million ways to get you. Many people believe the Dulles brothers are, you know, somewhat responsible for the assassination of JFK because JFK, he went after those Dulles brothers after the Bay of Pigs. So it was dumb on the part of doing this. And there's another group, though, that Trump very stupidly made enemies of, and that's the mainstream media. And he's called them all kinds of names, fake news. So he's got some very powerful enemies right now. And, of course, you can definitely say this was not smart on his point if he was trying to be the politician to try to control the media, to try to control the intelligence agencies. I think some of the blame has to probably fall on Flynn, because Flynn was not well liked at all by the intelligence agencies. In fact, he had been fired. And Flynn probably gave this mindset, transferred that mindset off to Trump and maybe to some others in the thing. And we'll have to see how it all plays out. Trump is going to...
Yeah, sorry. We're pretty much out of time. I apologize.